T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Isaiah Wynn is out for this game now with a foot injury.
Oh no, no, no!
Back-to-back blowouts for the Miami Dolphins. New England dominates in South Florida.
Dale Arnold.
Patriots sent a message to everybody who said this Antonio Brown experiment might not work.
Rich Keefe.
Let it ride.
Chiefs, Cowboys money line. Ravens.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
What are Sam Darnold's hobbies? I'll give you one clue.
It's not always that.
Sam Darnold.
So,
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Former New England Patriots tight end Jermaine Wiggins is in the house with us as well. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. There has been news after news after news around the NFL coming out today. Ben Roethlisberger done for the year. He'll have surgery on his elbow this week. Given his age and an elbow surgery on his throwing arm, I'm not going to be shocked if we've seen the last of Ben. Drew Brees is having surgery on a ligament in his thumb on his throwing hand. He's going to be out 6 weeks, but Adam Schefter points out that he's got to miss 8 weeks at least when he goes on this IR with a designation to return. So he's going to be out longer.
Yeah. Well, they have to decide, right, whether they're going to do that. I don't know if they've put him on that. So it's the risk of, do you want to keep him on your 53 and just have him inactive every week, or do you want to put him on the IR and then bring him back? Because if he's only going to miss 6 weeks, you don't want 2 extra weeks of Teddy Bridgewater, 2 extra games, right? So anyway, that's a decision for them. I don't know if they were both contenders. I know, Wiggy, you were high on the Saints going into the year.
Yeah, I had the Saints going into the Super Bowl.
They look pretty good.
And right. So they may still find a way because they did.
How, though?
Well, they invested a lot of money in a backup quarterback, so they are not going from... You know,
I don't think Bridgewater's the answer. I mean, we've
seen Bridgewater's better than most backups.
He can keep him afloat, though. I think
he wasn't good yesterday, but he is better than most.
He's better than most backups, but he can keep you afloat for 2-3 games.
But what if they go 3-3? What are they now? 1-1.
1-1.
So if they're 4-4, I don't think that takes him out
but
of it.
But what do you say? Is Drew Brees coming back week 7? But Dale said,
or like 8 or 9.
He's got to at least. He's got to at least miss 8 weeks.
No, that's only if they put him on there. I don't think they've officially on the IR
but
yet.
But if you don't, then you're losing a roster spot to a guy that you know can't play for at least.
Yeah,
6 weeks.
I know. I mean, but you figure 7 guys are inactive every week anyway. So if you and they actually have sort of a unique situation where they have Teddy Bridgewater. But then that guy Taysom Hill can also play quarterback if you need to. So
yeah,
your backup quarterback.
A quarterback. He's a
but in a pinch, you know. What I'm saying?
I'm
just saying for
Tebow
a roster
experiment.
All right, but if you had to do it, he can actually throw a little bit better than Tebow.
Right, right.
Can.
But he's somebody that is like if you're going to him in a game, you're in real trouble.
But what's more important, the extra roster spot or getting Brees back 2 weeks sooner than you might?
Getting Brees back
that's
2 weeks.
That's what I think. So I bet that's what they go with. Unless they hear that, hey, you know, 6 weeks is kind of best case scenario.
Right, right. Because
then you know, if you don't put him on IR and he's still out 8 weeks, then you kind of screwed yourself.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You can text us if you'd prefer, 37937. Let's go to Lewis, who's calling on the cell phone. Hey, Lewis, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on?
I just want to know, what do you guys think? They had a game yesterday. What do you guys think of his performance?
Who, Brown?
Brown, yes.
I thought he was very good. I mean, for a guy that practiced with the team on Wednesday for the first time ever, was there for 3 days, and then shows up in the game, I think that was probably as good as you could have expected. He only played in, 20-something percent of the snaps?
I think it was like 24, 25 snaps, 33%.
No, I'm sorry, 33%. Thank you. So he played in a third of the plays, and he was pretty productive. I thought it was a great start for him.
He got 3 drops too, right?
No. The wide receivers did not have a single drop in the game.
Because there was a little bit of miscommunication.
There was a bad throw by Brady. There was also, he drew a couple penalties, too.
Right. There was a bad throw, and then there was, like, you know, maybe like a slant route that the timing was a little off. There was a little miscommunication on the very similar route that he scored a touchdown on early in the game. They ran it again, but Brady threw a little bit outside. So there was just a little bit of, you know, you could tell that, hey, he's new to the system. We got to get on the same page.
I mean, if he had a great his debut, it was probably an A.
Yeah, I would say. I would say maybe about a B.
B plus?
Yeah, B plus.
You got to talk into a B plus.
Okay, you could probably talk me into a B.
Because I don't know what more.
A B with a sticker.
It started out like it was going to be some insane day.
Yeah.
They just kept going to him. Like, oh, my God, he's going to have 20 catches. And that didn't really happen. And he cooled off in the second half. But overall, I thought he was a. It kind of showed you what he can do. He had the nice catch over by the sideline, which nobody's better by the sideline than him.
That toe tap thing.
Oh, he's unbelievable at that. And they handed him the ball on a little run, picked up a first down.
And think about how nervous he must have been. Yeah. Think about, you know, it's been a while since, you know, he's been out there, you know.
And he's going back home, you know, he's from the Miami area.
You know, because of the whole Oakland situation. So he hasn't had a lot of practice under his belt. So, you know, you could tell that. And it's, you know, 9,000 degrees down there. So that doesn't help out.
Yeah, no, I thought overall it was good. And it didn't screw up the offense by like, hey, we're just going to force him the ball and then everybody else. Now, again, you kind of have to look at all of this from yesterday and say they played a team that does not belong in the NFL. It's hard to take away anything from a Dolphins game.
Yeah, if they had relegation in the NFL, they'd be out.
They're gone and may never come back.
Right.
Like, I don't know how
you
they
might
figured
out. Clemson in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Any chance we want
this is what's going to happen. Every year you always get the debate, best college team versus worst NFL team.
Any chance you want to put the Dolphins in the SEC, maybe?
Yeah, see how they do? Right. Maybe they can win their side of the SEC. Who knows?
617.
I don't know if they can even do
that. Maybe
not. 617-779-7937. Jackson Palmer. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
How you guys doing? Wiggy?
What's up?
How are you? I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I got a little something to talk to you guys about. I looked on the sidelines with Brady when he was sitting down. He looked kind of, I don't know. He had a strange look on his face during the game, and he said it was because of the heat. And then during his press conference, he was kind of like a pensive, like he was thinking about other stuff while he was answering questions. And usually he's very smiling and very attentive to the media. And I think he's really coming to grips with, after 42 years of age and 20 years in the NFL as, you know, arguably the GOAT and all that, that he actually has a piece that he can add to his library, a new piece, which is the cachet of what Brown has learned and has used in the NFL. And it's something new to him, I think. And I think he's wondering, do I just stick with my stuff, or do I actually lend an ear to some of Brown's? Because there's two pass plays where Wiggy hit on it a little bit, but he ran that same pattern that Edelman ran against Seattle twice and one for a touchdown, a Z-in, Z-out in the end zone.
Yep.
And I tell you, they had it double. The safety came over and double covered it, and Brady looked at him and threw it through the end zone. But actually, he had time enough because Brown actually took another move and went back inside and was wide open. And Brady had already figured, oh, he's double covered. I'm throwing it through the end zone. And he could have had a touchdown there. And there was one play where he beat Rowe right off the line and changed an end cut in the end zone to a fade. And that would have been another touchdown. He beat him right off the line. But Brady threw it inside, and Brown had to actually go back inside and almost made the catch. But you know, it was a bad throw
by Brady.
Brady knew it.
They went back to the
because you saw Brady put his hands up on his helmet. He knew he missed him.
He knew I got to put some air under that. And that's a touchdown. And because Antonio Brown undressed him right from the line of scrimmage.
I don't think Brady was sitting there, you know, daydreaming about, oh my God, I've never had a weapon like this.
I don't know where he was going.
I think he probably
there.
Was like, man, God, is this hot down here?
No, he said today on Greg Hill's show,
it was hot.
Greg asked him about, you know, the look on the side. He said it was hot.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, I was just trying to get my breath.
But I do think he's got to be absolutely thrilled at what the receivers are.
Yes.
Because when you weren't sure, so Gronk retires, you didn't know if the league was going to bring back Josh Gordon, you have Edelman who's already dealing with a thumb injury, and you're saying, okay, we could probably use some reinforcements.
Go to week three of the preseason.
Exactly. You look at that group.
After that game, week three of the preseason.
And Brady's got to be saying, what do we have here? And then now you go from that 2 weeks later to what you and I agree, Wiggy, the best receiving combination he's ever had in 20 right. years. This is the best receiver trio or quartet he has ever had. And that's also, you have a first-round pick on IR who you might not even see all season long.
Right.
Right? Jacoby Myers, who looked pretty good. They even traded away Demaryius Thomas. That's how loaded it is at the top right now. So I'm sure he's thrilled about that.
You have the best wide receiving core in the NFL.
I think you do.
And to back up your point, Wiggy, about your fantasy football sleeper.
Philip.
Tucker Boynton, who does stats stuff for Barstool, tweeted out the following. Philip Dorsett update. Since week five of last season, Dorsett's been targeted 23 times, 23 receptions, 259 yards, 3 touchdowns, a 153.2 passer rating when he's targeted.
He's such a smart receiver, too. Like you saw yesterday, he ran that one out. It was like 3rd and 17.
Right.
He went like 19 yards.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Last night's game, Atlanta versus Philadelphia, the tight end, Zach Ertz,
or whatever.
It's 4th and 8. Yeah. He goes 7 yards.
You see it a lot, like with tight ends.
I told you, big fantasy guy, and Philip Dorsett.
Philip Dorsett's good. He is solid. He's got good hands. He runs good, crisp routes.
When I said that, people were like, no, what are you doing? No.
Well, I still don't know how good his fantasy numbers are going to be overall. There's a lot of guys to.
There's a few other targets out there.
Week one, he was good, but he's got company now.
Yeah, he's definitely has some. But I would say this, that in the NFL right now, if you're Tom Brady, you have the best wide receiving core in the National Football
League. By the way, as great as it is, your defense might be better than your offense. Take a look at the numbers here.
No, the defense is unbelievable.
In the last three games, going back to the Super Bowl, they've given up 6 points in three games.
Right. Pre-Antonio Brown, I don't think it was even a debate.
Now that
you add the best receiver in the league, it's probably closer, but still, I mean, they're both right there.
Defensively, take away the second half of the Kansas City AFC Championship game.
Really, the fourth quarter.
Right.
That was where they gave up all the points.
And think about that. But I don't know. That's, you know, defensively, they are
defense
good.
Defense is loaded.
But the offensively, they are loaded.
Oh, they're great. I mean, it's a video game team. That's what they are. It's like you stack the deck.
Jimmy's on the cell phone. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey, guys. First time caller. How you doing?
Thank you.
So my question is, do you think Stidman could have done the same job yesterday without wide receivers?
Yes.
Jarrett Stidham would have beaten the Dolphins yesterday.
Yeah, he would have beaten the Dolphins.
I don't know if it's 43-0, but they 100% beat him.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's going to have the numbers of Brady had. I think Brady was
probably not.
20 or 28 or something.
Probably looks a little bit different, but they still win.
Exactly. And I'll leave you with this, and I'll hang up and listen. But, last game of the season, we're undefeated. Who do they go with at quarterback?
Tom Brady.
What, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Really?
Brian Hoyer.
They've been in the last game of the season where they've been like, let's call it what, you know.
This isn't Tony Dungy's Colts. Like, they're going for it.
Let's call it 13-2 and they're up, and it's like, you know, they don't need to play anybody. They got home field advantage, and they're like, all right, Brady.
By the way.
You're playing.
By the way, so we mentioned earlier in the show, or I did, I think the Patriots could go 16-0, the Dolphins could go 0-16.
Yes.
They play each other the last week of the year. So it could be 15-0 versus 0-15 on the last game of the season.
And the Patriots would be favored by 25.
I would bet that's not high enough.
I would bet that.
At that point, it would have to be like 35.
And I would still.
And it'd almost be like a preseason game because you're just like, well, the Patriots are going to play about the whole time. You wouldn't even know how to bet that.
I would bet it because think about this: if the Dolphins are checked out in week two, can you imagine?
what
their thought process is going to be?
They might not come. They might be the first forfeit in the NFL. Right. They may not show up. They might say, "We got to fly all the way up to New England."
Right.
Well, thanks.
It's going to be like, it's like it becomes the Kyrie Irving effect where
so save the date.
It's B4. I was like, we had 18 guys that got caught in the club last night, and they didn't make the trip.
0-16 and 16-0 on the same day.
And I would take
Sunday, December 29th.
I would take the Pats if it's their 35-point favorites.
Yeah, I would too.
And 0-16 and 16-0. I mean,
history in the making.
So Miami travels to Dallas next week.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
The Dolphins have opened as a 20.5 underdog.
Dak Prescott was slinging it yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a beatdown.
That is the heaviest favorite the Cowboys have been in 32 years.
Oh, my God.
Which gives you an idea of you know, what
how bad Miami is.
What really the odds makers think of. Now let's just take a look.
Because
Miami?
No, I was looking at what the number is for the Patriots at this point.
Home against Trevor Siemian and
17.5
Yeah.
Okay.
That's giving the Jets a little bit more credit than I thought.
Yeah, well, you know. And Le'Veon Bell, is he?
I think he's going to play.
Is he going to play?
Yeah, I think he's going to play.
I know
tonight.
He was questionable yesterday, but you look at the, I don't see the Dolphins winning.
No, there's no wins. There's no wins out there.
No,
it really says what a sorry outfit the other side is if they lose. If you lose to Miami, unless it's one of those things where you're also a non-playoff team late in the year and you also don't really care.
Right.
I can see that. Maybe they get
but
like a cheap
I
win
think,
that way.
I think when you look at, like, Dale, like, when you bring up a good point, when you look and you look at the whole Brian Flores thing and him and, you know, getting time, and you start to look at, they got the Cowboys, then it's the Chargers, and then they get the Redskins.
Chargers aren't great this year.
No, they're not great, but they're still going to be in the hunt.
Better, yeah.
And you get the Redskins early, so
bad.
The Redskins can
Redskins
still.
Redskins are bad.
Yeah, they're bad, but the Dolphins are pathetic.
No, the Dolphins aren't even a team. They're not even a real team. That's fine.
By the way, our buddy Scheim tells us it's the first time since 1987 that you've had two teams who are 17-point favorites or more in the same week.
Yeah, it looks like the college football week where everybody schedules the non-conference. It was actually like this week, kind of.
Miami's
they're all playing like Arkansas State and everything.
Miami's your Arkansas State. That's what Georgia played last
exactly.
week.
Same thing.
It is probably going to be ugly, and it's going to continue to be ugly because the Patriots will literally be favored in every single game this year.
But I think what's going to have to happen is, and for just for Flores quickly, I don't think they can fire him after year one because it was such a bad, untalented team. And you can't trade away two of your best players for picks and then blame the coach. So what's going to happen is they're going to get the number one pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take a quarterback.
Right.
And then they're going to pray that he's good. And if he's not, probably not Flores' fault, and then he's gone.
Right. But I said this initially that I think this team, what the Miami Dolphins for Brian Flores, I think he could have waited to take a head coaching job. I didn't think it was a good move for him to go there because of the fact that you didn't have a quarterback and you were going against a, you know, team that's in the division.
But you'll get a second chance. Like, you don't always get a third.
Right, well,
get,
that's what I'm saying.
He'll be a head coach somewhere else if it doesn't work in Miami.
You think?
I think so.
Field Yates has an interesting number. The Steelers' two largest cap hits for this year. Ben Roethlisberger, $26.2 million. He's out for the year. Antonio Brown, $21.2 million, now playing for the Patriots. That's their two biggest cap hits for this year.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were going to miss the playoffs even with Roethlisberger. So now that he's out, they're definitely toast.
See, I had them sneaking in.
Did you?
I had them sneaking in. Or maybe I might have had them winning the division.
Not my Browns?
Browns
are going to get their first win tonight.
Well, we'll find
People
out.
Are excited about that. They're going to get that W tonight.
I'm going to watch this one tonight. We'll see if the shiny red bike finally has a...
Odell's going to have a highlight reel touchdown tonight.
A chain on it. Yeah, and I just feel like...
There's a stupid watch on while he's doing it.
Yeah, it's just like that team. It's just, you know, like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
It's a lot of personalities.
Big bounce back week for them.
Okay.
Huge.
By the way, it's already begun. Mike Freeman and others have already begun this with Ben Roethlisberger out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, call on Colin Kaepernick to come in?
No.
There's a couple of things to keep in mind about Kaepernick. A, he ran a completely different style of offense out in San Francisco than they have in Pittsburgh. He hasn't played in over 3 years.
Yeah, what's that mean?
He wasn't...
Some of these guys...
He wasn't that good when he was done playing 3 years ago.
See, I hope people...
He
always,
wasn't that good.
People always say he hasn't played in 3 years. Some of these backups, I mean, haven't played... You know, granted, it might be a little bit of preseason mop-up duty here and there, but some of these...
Yeah, but you're doing it, aren't you? Aren't you at least practicing and, like, you're still in football?
Yeah, but, I mean...
He's been doing commercials.
I mean,
Is he 28 or 29 or 30? He's not an
Kaepernick?
Old... Yeah, he's not an old guy.
So 5 years from now, whenever a quarterback is down, are we still going to have... I mean, 3 years away from the game, Wiggy, you got to admit, it's kind of a little bit of a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say being away from the game, the rust factor won't... It's not probably the physical element of just... It's more the speed element.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, if you said Colin Kaepernick or Mason Rudolph, who are you going to win more games with? I think I would have said Kaepernick. Now I'm not. Now it's like
I don't know. I mean, if I got if I had to choose between Kaepernick, Rosen, or Fitzpatrick, I might choose Kaepernick because even if you're,
I don't know,
even you know,
based on what?
Well, based
just
on
the other guys being terrible.
Yeah, based on the other guys being terrible, you're still a pretty decent athlete. You got a decent arm. Like maybe you make a few plays with your legs, and you know, you throw. You can't throw a deep ball like we saw Rosen throw yesterday. I mean,
Rosen was actually spotting them. It was just his guys can't catch.
Right.
He was throwing nice darts.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Colin Kaepernick is 31.
31. But I think he can make a few
and
plays.
And hasn't played in 3 years.
Make a few plays with his legs. He's still a pretty good athlete.
He could scramble.
Yeah.
How do you know he's still a good athlete?
I mean, Dale.
You don't lose it, Dale.
Yeah, you don't lose that. I mean, he was a good athlete when he played.
Yeah, 3 years ago. You're going to say he could still run around the same way now that he did then?
I mean, I think he
could. If he was doing CBD?
Right, I think he
could. And did you forget that he wasn't that good?
I mean, he was.
But he was better than most of a lot of the guys in the league right now.
Yeah, he was a Super Bowl caliber quarter. He helped the team get to a Super Bowl.
Right.
So he was good enough.
No, I'm talking about at the end. You know, when
right, I mean,
he was not good at the end.
I think he made some bad decisions in that.
He wasn't very accurate. I mean, he had 16 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Right.
I mean, that alone is good. His accuracy was poor. It always was.
He was probably a better version of, in the passing game, as Lamar Jackson. Not as good as an athlete, but a little bit better of a passer.
Yeah.
So on Friday, Chris Schein made a bold move where his three locks of the week were the identical locks of the week from the previous week.
He went back to the well.
We'll find out how he did when
we come
back in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keith down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Time to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week, I'm your North Star.
Come on. That clearly, huh?
Andy, you are lost at sea.
Yeah, okay.
I'm here to guide you home.
Is that right?
Again, I'm going to do exactly what I did last week. I'm going to bring you a three-leg parlay.
You are out of your mind with a parlay. You're flying way too close to the sun here with this, Shime.
You don't go against what works. You bet on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Minus 7.5 in Dallas Cowboys money line.
He's going back to the well here.
The Baltimore Ravens minus 13 at home against the Cardinals.
So how'd that work out?
Shime, I'm telling you, these parlays, man, it's a dangerous game.
They're killing you.
What are you doing with the parlays?
You know, it wasn't the best, but at the same time, I felt really confident until I watched Baltimore decide to kneel the ball inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, the game was over, okay? They won the game.
They didn't care about your parlay.
They scraped together a victory over the Arizona Cardinals. They won by 6. What was the line? 13.5?
13.
13. You're taking 13 lines over here. Why didn't you throw the Patriots in there?
That was a really higher number. It was a much higher number. I wasn't confident in that
Rather than giving
us, they kill the line.
Week one got Shime with the Baltimore.
Yes,
that's
he felt good about it. He
fell into
the
trap.
So you had, technically, you've given us 6 games.
That
really
is correct.
Two main picks, but you're 5-1 in those games. So I will give you that part of it.
And actually, we had a caller call in just to thank me. He took the money line in all 3 of those games and added the Patriots, and he hit big.
The money line, he took just the money line in the Ravens game?
Yep.
What did he win, 30 cents? That's an insane bet. There were 13-point favorites. You took the money line?
Yeah, it was minus 800 or something.
You should have taken the Patriots money line.
Yeah, did that's like minus 3,000.
Did you see what the money line is for the Patriots to win the division?
I believe it's minus 6,000.
I think it's more.
It's minus 6,000, and a gentleman bet $40 on the Patriots to win the division.
Yeah, and they'll win like 65 cents.
Yeah. That's correct.
Congratulations, sir. Good job.
Like, all right, you got that. So I don't want you to tip your hand for this Friday, Shime, but are you still feeling like a parlay, or can you maybe just make some like adult picks?
Keith, I want you to, we came up with this term earlier today before the show.
Yeah, stay away from the parlay.
No, I am the anti-mutt. I'm all in on the parlays.
He's all in on
Hashtag
parlays.
Fade Shime.
Fade Shime.
I ended up hitting a different parlay.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He gave. You hear that, Dale? He hit a parlay that he didn't tell us about.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
So did I, Shime.
I came up with
it. Too, actually. Yeah.
Came up with it 20 minutes before the kickoff at 1 p.m. Felt real good. Okay. Ended up hitting it thanks to that crazy Chicago game.
Made a quick phone call. Hello, Pickles.
Yeah, I know on the air I didn't get that pick, but guys, you know how many picks I had off the air? I hit them all. Don't worry about my on the air picks. It's everything else. You're like Floyd Mayweather, who just posts pictures of when he wins the bets. It's like he's never lost any money.
Ever.
It's like Mock James with a C. I don't think he's lost the bet. He said in 8 years.
Do you have a feeling on this Browns-Jets game, Shime, just for people who maybe didn't have as successful a Sunday? Maybe they want to chase some,
what's the line?
Some action tonight?
Yes, I have a very specific feeling on this game.
I would say that the line would be pretty good in favor of the Browns because no Donald.
Sam Darnold, right.
And where's this game at? Is it?
It's in New York or New Jersey, I guess.
Okay, it's in
Cleveland
New Jersey.
Is 6.5-point favorites.
Ooh.
They did not look very good week one.
Could be a trap bet.
Baker Mayfield had a rough day.
He was real bad.
And they call those trap bets.
You want to know what you should do with this game?
Of course I do, Shime. That's why I asked.
Not pick it.
Oh, Shime, where's the fun in that? Why don't you live a little bit?
Hey, I'm as much of a degenerate as there is.
I got $200.
Hey, why don't you parlay the Browns and the over? Live a little bit.
Browns and the under. If you're going to do it, go Browns and the under, but I wouldn't do it.
I'm asking for your advice. I got $200. I want to try to do something with it tonight. Yeah. What should I do with this Browns-Jets game? What's minus 6.5?
Go to the Browns bank, get them all once.
Yeah, if you really feel like you want to bet this game, you gotta go Browns. The Jets are falling apart here.
Okay.
All right. So the Shime's kind of half in,
half
out.
You had to kind of drag it out of him, to be honest with you.
But you know what? If he hits on it, it counts. And if he doesn't, guys, I didn't even want to.
I told you to stay away.
I didn't like it.
That's a good point. You didn't like it. All
right. Okay, so it's the Browns then.
We mentioned yesterday during the Indianapolis Colts game, Adam Vinatieri missed two more extra points. After the game, the guy who covers the Colts for The Athletic tweeted out, just grabbed Adam Vinatieri as he headed to the bus. He said, you'll hear from me tomorrow. I told him we don't see him tomorrow, and he said, yeah, you will. Bert Breer just tweeted out, Vinatieri's at the Colts facility now. Staffers awaiting word on what he's planning to do.
Yeah, that might be it. I know we talked about Gostkowski a little bit today, missing three kicks. But Adam Vinatieri, first two games of the season, I believe it's five total kicks between extra points and field goals that he has missed. 46 years old, just doesn't seem like he has.
Didn't they want him back, though?
They did.
And they don't have anybody else.
I mean, how many good kickers are there in the NFL?
Right.
It's sort of like quarterbacks and head coaches. It's a smaller list than it probably should be. There's not many good kickers.
Right, and so, I mean, if
you... But, and, like, who's available? Like, what kicker right now is sitting there saying, hey, like, remember the year...
It's why Bill Belichick's not doing anything here with Steven Gostkowski, right, as frustrated as some fans are.
Was it the year that Gostkowski got hurt? Was it Shane Graham they brought in? Remember the former Bengal? Like, he was available, and he was fine.
Right.
Like, he wasn't great, but he came in, and he was fine. A couple of years ago, Robbie Gould was available. Mm-hmm. I think, was it the Niners that picked him up? But he was out there, and nobody had him for a little bit. And he's a real NFL kicker. I don't know if there's any... Is there a young Gramatica
somewhere? I don't know who's...
I don't know who's out there.
That's the biggest thing. I know Matt Bryant, the Atlanta Falcon kicker, was out there about a week ago, but they brought him back.
Right.
So
the Jets switched kickers recently, right? So that whatever scrub they had, I think he's available somewhere. But, yeah, it's not good. You know, you went for a few years, you were pretty confident in most Gostkowski kicks. Like, he was going to make every extra point. It was a no-brainer. It was like, you didn't even think about it. And then even when they moved the line back, he was still drilling extra points. And then, yeah, you're like, all right, well, he misses a game. Or he misses, like, a Super Bowl kick. He misses an AFC Championship kick. But now, after yesterday's game, like, now you got to have an eye on Gostkowski. Like, you can't rely on him.
But the thing is, you might not be able to, like, I don't want to say you can't rely on him. I think you got to look and go, okay, he might miss a big kick here and there, right?
Yeah. Well, isn't that the same thing?
It's
the exact same thing.
Is it the exact same thing?
You can't rely on him. No, you can rely on him, but you know he's going to miss a big kick.
You can rely on him. Like, it's like, all right, it's like saying, okay, I can rely on somebody to show up, if there's 7 days in a week, I can rely on them to show up five. They might miss two.
Sort of like Shime's bets.
So
right, so
he's hitting some of these.
So okay. I don't know if you say you can't rely on them, but then what's my other option?
Do you guys find it odd that, so last year, if I said who was better at their job, the kicker or the punter, Did you say maybe the punter was better, like at his job?
Yeah, last because
and then they drafted a punter and they sent him out the door. The guy punted his ass off in the Super
Bowl.
Right,
but see, I think they have a like. I don't know what it is with punters and the Patriots.
Yeah, they had a few.
It seems like they get a guy and he'll do good, and then just for whatever reason.
But I'm surprised that they've never brought in competition for Gostkowski. They've never, you know, there's never been a guy.
Maybe
coming
it's
in
harder
here.
To find a field goal kicker than it is a punter, right?
I don't know how many good punters there
well,
are.
Well, they
either.
went from Zoltan Mesko,
yeah.
to Ryan Allen.
Yeah,
and now
Jake Bailey got punched the snot out of it. Right. But I'm just saying, I thought Allen was fine. I didn't think he was
right,
a problem
what,
last year.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't
he
think
he was one of the MVPs of the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying,
right?
And
but
then
I don't
he
think,
loses his job. Right, Gostkowski's
but I
safe.
Don't think they look at punters as like, all right, they're not doing their job, so we're bringing another guy in. It's just something about that position where after a few years, it's like, you know, we're gonna go to the next guy. Where the field goal kicker with Gostkowski,
yeah.
I think it's harder for them to find a good field goal kicker.
Yeah, I mean, there could be
but
less
think
of
because them. Think about it. Ryan Allen's a real good punter.
I think so.
He hasn't got picked up by nobody.
Yeah, that's surprising.
The punter turnover is very – when you look at it, there's not much punter turnover.
No,
in
some of these guys, they have a job and that's it.
That's it.
They're just the punter forever.
Newly minted Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback Mason Rudolph, meeting with the media a few minutes ago, said Ben Roethlisberger was complaining about how his elbow felt after the Patriots game.
Oh, so he was hurt going in?
So he was hurt apparently going into this weekend. Yeah. And to his credit, I guess, you know, was trying to play through it. And as it turns out, he needs surgery on his elbow now.
I wonder what the, like, could it be like a Tommy John situation?
I don't know what he's got going on
where
there.
It's
maybe
like,
he has a unique elbow like Price. And then maybe this will just be a false report, and they'll be like, oh, he doesn't need it. Forget it.
You know,
he's
did he land a certain way that could have caused the elbow injury?
I
or
don't know, because
it...
the play that they showed it, he just kind of threw it and then, like, right. grabbed at it. Like, what? Like the Drew Brees thumb, you mm-hmm. could see. Like, Aaron
right.
Donald comes flying
right.
in. Like, you watch it, like, oh, that's a thumb injury. The Roethlisberger one, I couldn't really get a good sense of.
Yeah, I don't like, you know, the elbow. Like, I almost feel like when you think about an elbow injury for a quarterback or even, like, yeah. a pitcher in baseball – that's a scary
oh, yeah.
injury because you're like, all right, you know, now you lose.
Isn't it crazy, though, to think it's week two is not even over yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Roethlisberger's done for the year. Breeze is out for, let's say, half the year. Andrew Luck retired. Sam Darnold's kissing everybody.
Right.
And there's another quarterback that's out. Meanwhile,
and the Dolphins
42-year-old Brady
16.
Just showed. Oh, yeah, for sure going 0-16. But, I mean, Brady just keeps on keeping on.
Right.
All these other quarterbacks are just, you know, dropping like crazy.
And like, you know, in the production from a lot of these quarterbacks, they're all like, you know, Matt yeah. Ryan's throwing like, I think he's averaging like 3 interceptions a game.
Right.
You look at some of these quarterbacks that are supposed to be good throughout the league, and, you know, okay, they can, you know, Philip Rivers doesn't look the same. It's really Brady and Mahomes when you think
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden Lamar Jackson is like, well, where'd he come from? Now all of a sudden he looks like a pretty, you know, decent quarterback. But some of the guys that we expected to not only just play well, I mean, you know, besides the injuries, you're looking at guys and going,
If you think about it, overall quarterback play in the NFL has been considered subpar for a couple of years now. Now you've got guys like Breeze and Roethlisberger going down.
Like you said, Andrew Luck retiring. Look at Cam Newton and Jameis.
I mean, Sam Darnold, you know, at least for the short term out.
Cam Newton and Jameis Winston the other night watching that game.
Oh,
it was
brutal.
Like, man, it was like two Scribinis going at it. I'm like, the kid that's a quarterback for my son's football team,
get him out
Central
there.
Catholic. I'm like, he's better than these two Scribinis out. It's like, Jesus.
I know, the quarterback's not good.
Yeah, and it's like, and guys that you thought were going to like potentially, you know, because we always put
well,
him
like
in
the next generation after Brady, and there's probably like 3 generations almost of quarterbacks now, because you got guys 40s, 30s, early 20s that are mm-hmm. all starting, but after Brady, you were thinking, all right, well, Cam
Maybe
Newton,
Rogers.
Andrew Luck, like these right. guys. No, even Rodgers is,
right.
what, mid-30s by
right.
now. So he's sort of at, I put him more with Brady and Breeze
right.
and
Rivers
and Roethlisberger.
It's basically Brady and then Mahomes.
Yeah.
You go from one side
yeah,
of the spectrum.
The old head down to the young guy.
And then everybody else in between is like, yeah. I mean, even some of the younger quarterbacks that, like, you know, Kyler Murray hasn't really
no.
looked too
it needs to be like Carson Wentz. But I don't know if it will be.
Yeah.
And like Baker Mayfield, don't know if it will be.
Right.
Yeah.
What else you got's coming up next? OMF at the top of the hour, Dale and Keefe. Down here at Gillette on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we have not gotten to so far in the program.
What else you got?
I'll kick things off with
all right,
with a fight on the sidelines in the National Football League.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Jalen Ramsey goes after his coach, ooh, Doug Marrone, on the sideline yesterday.
Fireworks on the Jacksonville sideline. A moment ago, Jalen Ramsey coming off the field. That's Doug Marrone, the head coach, he's yelling out. Start of the second quarter, Jaguars trail 3-0. This was the second part that we were telling you about. Look at Marrone, left of your screen, came back over there to yell at Ramsey. And Ramsey and Marrone exchanging words. That was part two of the sideline eruption.
What led to the disagreement between you and Jalen Ramsey and several of the players in the first half?
There's a lot of emotion in the game, I'm sure. I don't know. I can't recall.
Was there a reason that you didn't challenge? Did Jalen want you to challenge the...
Yeah, we have a process. I think that we've done a very good job. I think, you know, since I've been the head coach, obviously we're the best ones at winning them, right? So we have a process that we have to confirm it because timeouts are big and we had no one that was able to confirm.
So I asked these guys the question, when was the last time Bill Belichick was in a fight on the sideline with one of his players?
I think you'd have to go back to Lawrence Taylor for that one.
and he wasn't the head coach then.
Who's right. Yelled back at him?
I don't think there's many.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't think anybody I've ever played with saw yell at Bill.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
You might be surprised by this, but without knowing too much about it, and I had to choose between Ramsey and Marrone.
You were going to take Ramsey.
I'm taking Ramsey there.
Shocked.
By the way,
this.
I did like the Jaguars.
I love
did
a good coach-player fight.
Did you guys like them going for two at the end of the game? So they score a touchdown, mm-hmm. So they're down by 7.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew throws a touchdown pass late, I want to say like 2 minutes or so to go.
Okay.
Rather than kick the extra point and
tie the game up,
they went for two. They ran a stupid like draw play or whatever to Fournette, who got stuffed right at like the 2-inch line.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like them going for the win there, or should they have played for overtime?
I think they should have probably played for overtime.
Depends on if you make it or not. Thanks, Dale.
Well,
yeah.
No, they play. The reason why
I don't think they thought they were going to be able to score again, so they were like, we got to get it now.
You have to look at it like, usually that's a decision you make when you know your team's not that good, and it's like, all right, well I think they're fighting for that division. You think about fighting for the AFC South.
Yeah, the division's wide open there.
That's wide open.
What else you got?
Okay, you know, there's trouble in paradise, and I wish this show was on TV, but there's trouble amongst the Ball brand.
No, there isn't. Come on. These guys are fighting?
Yeah, listen.
Would you change the name?
Hell no, I wouldn't change the name.
I'm just saying from a marketing standpoint.
From a marketing standpoint, regardless of what it is.
I'm just saying, that's my opinion. I'm just asking a question.
I'm just saying. Triple B is always going to be the name. On the fact that it also stands for the three Ball brothers. I'm not changing that at all.
What is your opinion on that, Joe?
I don't give a about his opinion.
I just want
to
hear.
But no, listen to me, son. When I come out with a name and then somebody tell me to change it, that's like me telling me to change your name. That's like people saying, change Lonzo's name to Alfonso on the fact that he's been damaged goods for the last 2 years.
The brand is demolished right now.
The brand is not demolished.
Okay.
That's how you feel the brand is demolished.
That's everybody feel.
Who? Who's everybody?
The world.
The world? That's the consumers you talk to?
Yeah. That's all messed up right now.
Well, that's Lonzo Ball and his dad, LeVar.
He's right. The brand is demolished.
It
right.
sounds like a big baller rebrand.
He told his son, Lonzo, that'd be like me changing the name to Alfonso.
He called him out. He's like, you're terrible. You've been terrible the last 2 years.
Right.
That's a mess. Things aren't going well there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're selling slides for $250. That's right, a tough thing.
I don't know how many of those actually sold.
The sneaker was like $800.
It was a very expensive sneaker.
Let's be honest. When your sneaker costs more than a Yeezy,
and his kid won't wear them because they suck.
Right. Oh, yeah, they're not built well.
That's what else you got?
Tough thing. Well, David Ortiz is over at Fenway Park today, and he was doing some one-on-one interviews with a bunch of different media members, including our very own Rob Bradford from WEEI.com and the Bradfo Show podcast.
There's a lot of rumor. A lot of bad things came out, but none of them were related to what really happened to me. And that's why I hired an investigator to make sure that what I was told by the Dominican authority was it. And that's how it has been, you know what I'm saying? So I can complain about that, but that's why, you know, I feel like I wanna have this type of conversation with y'all so y'all, you know, get to know what really happens. You know, I don't really know what really end up happening.
So what you want to do is head over to the Bradfo Show podcast, WEEI.com, and it's an entire interview. Bradfo sitting down with David Ortiz about, clearly, as you heard there, everything that happened down there in the Dominican Republic.
Wiggy, good to see you again.
You too, boys.
We will be back in the studio tomorrow. Willie McGinnis will be with us tomorrow. We'll talk to Willie as we do on Tuesdays during the NFL season. OMF coming up next. Bill Belichick will be on with them later on in the program here on Sports Radio WEEI. Goodbye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.